Morning.
I have a good news announcement I'd like to read to you. It's about how Ivan Henderson is doing. Good news. Ivan is in a regular room. Doctor put in PICC lines so it's easier to get his antibiotics in his body. He has chosen Bad Axe to do his rehab. We'll need several weeks of intensive therapy to build up resistance and strength. But he's been able to keep his leg, praise the Lord. Praise to God for this wonderful news. So keep your thoughts and prayers with Ivan and Amy too as they go through this intensive rehabilitation he's going to need. Birthdays for this week. Deanna Stone on the 11th. Erdene Casto on the 15th. Shirley Davies on the 15th. Johnny Bader on the 18th. Those are our birthdays for this week. Let's sing happy birthday to them. To you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you. Anniversaries on the 15th, Fred and Pat Darling, on the 17th, John and Catherine Phillips. Let's sing. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. And announcements for today. An announcement I'd like to make is concerning our church sale we had a week ago. I announced last week that we had made over the $750. It came out to $760.05. So we thank you for bringing all your things that you no longer needed at your home so that we could put them on the tables in our friendship in our Wesley Hall, and let others buy them to use in their homes until they don't need them anymore or whatever. So we thank you for that. All along, people who were helping with the sale said, well, what are you going to do with all the stuff left over? And as I looked around, I really didn't see that much left over. In my own mind, I was thinking where things would go. So I'll tell you where, I hope I don't miss anywhere, where the things have gone and will go. First of all, between Vicki and Lynn, they picked out things they thought would sell well at Help. And we packed those up into boxes. They were like boxes on two tables of stuff that they took to Help. And then we started packing up some clothes that weren't going to Help. Things we didn't think would sell there so much. But some of the things we thought could be useful in the Upper Peninsula to our brothers and sisters up there through our mission opportunity up there, God's Country Cooperative Parish. So we're sending things up there like shoes, particularly men's shoes, men's trousers, winter coats, those kinds of things. And so those we hope will get up there yet before Thanksgiving. To anybody who might be going to the UP. Might be me if I can work it into my schedule. And then there was just about a whole table of glassware, kitchenware, kitchen things. And so I had my daughter Trina, who works part-time at Eva's Place, check around to see what on that table could be used for when they're setting women up in apartments and need to furnish those. And once she got done with her those things there, there was about 10 items left on the table. And so some of those I thought could go to help, and so some of those went to help back to help. And so that's pretty much where our things went. More mission work for our church, using kind of what I think of not as our discards, but things that we can't use, but probably other people can use. And so often the difficulty is finding a place for people that can use those things. So that's pretty much the end of the sale, and it was a wonderful project, a wonderful coming together of the congregation, both the things you were willing to donate to us, the time you were willing to help us set up and sell, and the willingness to come in and even buy other people's things that they had brought to sell. So thank you very much from the United Methodist Women. One more announcement. Pop-up pantry in Sandusky is on October 25th. The pop-up pantry in Sandusky on October 25th, which is probably on the back of your bulletin, has been canceled. So if you need to cross that one off, do. Check on the back of your bulletin for additional announcements. Particularly relevant are the Deckerville pies are again available, and they need to be ordered by next Sunday, October 17th, if you want the Deckerville apple pies for your Thanksgiving dinner. There's going to be another hearing screening with Angela Lisecki on October 19th from 9 until noon. And take notice of the flyer in the bulletin. Reading the names of the saints will take place during the November 7th service. Registration forms are included in this week's bulletin, or you can call the office to submit names. Please register them by Sunday, October 24th. Yes. Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Julie Krause will be bringing us our morning message, and I am Linda Schramm, your worship leader for this morning. At this time, we'll have the prelude and the lighting of the candles. Our next praise song is Step by Step, number 3004. Will you join me in the call to worship? To you, O Lord, I offer my prayer. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me to live according to your truth, for you are my God who saves me.
God, you bring us together in this place. We come to be fed, to be renewed, to seek understanding. God, you challenge us in this place. We embrace the challenge, trusting that through challenge we grow in faith. God, you are revealed in this place, sometimes in shining glory, sometimes in tears and struggle. God, as we worship in this place, refresh, renew and challenge us so that we would see your awesomeness. We pray in Jesus' name as we strive to walk the path of discipleship. Amen.
Our opening hymn is Take My Life and Let It Be, number 399.
Please be seated. Good morning again. My name is Julie Krause, and I'll be with you this morning. At this time, we'll have our children's message. Do we have any children to come forward? Well, I know we have many listening this morning. And I did want to remind everyone that we do have children's bulletins as well. For our children's message this morning, the question becomes, have you ever had to carry a heavy backpack to or from school? Would it be hard to run with a full backpack? Would it be even harder to run up a mountain with a heavy load? There once was a rich man who was a very good follower of God, who obeyed all the commandments. But then Jesus pointed out to him, if you want to be my disciple, go sell what you own and give the money to the poor. Jesus knew that his money was like a big, heavy backpack, and that would hold him back from serving Jesus completely. Do you think that the man removed the heavy load and gave his money to the poor? No. Sadly, he couldn't do it. Instead, he went away grieving, for he had so many possessions. Today, let's take some things out of our backpacks so that we could serve Jesus better. Sometimes these things may not be money. They could be candy or being popular in school or picking on others. Let's not do this. Let's lighten our backpacks. Let's lighten our loads and serve Jesus as much as we can. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the children. We know they love you and they want to serve you. Please help them to do so. In your precious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we will have our Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading comes from Psalms 22, verses 1 through 15. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted you, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a person, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He who trusts in the Lord, they say, let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. At this time, the choir will sing an anthem called Alleluia. It's different than many of our anthems where we kind of sing in harmony. Each part kind of has their own song, And so each, so you will hear one part start out with just a melody, and then the altos will come in with another melody, and then you'll hear both melodies together. And then Catherine comes in with an obbligato, just all by herself, and then all the parts are put together to make what I think is a wonderful anthem. So kind of listen to the parts, and we hope they go well.
That was very beautiful. Thank you. At this time, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Great and holy God, we ask for your love, healing, and peace to surround those who we have named here this morning and for those who we hold close in our hearts and minds. We especially ask your continual healing for Pastor Sue. And we also want to remember Family Farm and Home this week. Lord God, we give you thanks for all your gifts to us, for daily food, for health, for each breath we take, for freedom to choose, and for the gifts of your word, your power, and your love. Our hearts are truly overwhelmed, O God, when we consider how you have entrusted so much to us. May we be worthy of that trust. May we be a people who are unafraid to live as fully and as loving as you want us to live. God, our Father, guide our hearts. Free us from ourselves. Teach us to be content in all circumstances. Even now, we are concerned about the money we do have or the money we don't have. The things that we need and the things that we want constantly bombard us. For today, we want to recognize that all we have is from you. You are our provider, and you know our needs better than even we know them. Teach us to be content in all circumstances. Free us from ourselves. Guide our hearts. Father, they are yours. And now let us join together as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I also want to take this time to read one of the prayer requests that the children had presented as well. And one of them is a special prayer for her daddy. So we want to remember that as well. For all our family and friends, may God watch over them always. At this time, as you are able, will you please stand? And our hymn is number 354, I Surrender All. Please be seated. Today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not be afraid. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." The word of God for the people of God. Do you remember, or are you familiar with the Beatles song, "Can't Buy Me Love"? That song came to my mind this week as I was planning this message. Some of the lyrics from the song are, "I'll give you all I've got to give, if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I've got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money can't buy me love." I think most of us would agree with those lyrics. I think we could also make a list of other things that money can't buy. How about respect, peace, kindness, manners, and as today's scripture reading tells us, discipleship and eternal life? Let's look at an illustration from a young married couple. A newly married man asked his wife, "Would you have married me if my father hadn't left me a fortune?" "Honey," the woman replied sweetly, "I'd have married you no matter who left you a fortune." I'm not sure that will bring a long-standing partnership or if love was purchased with that union. So, moving on, have you ever heard of a Henry? H-E-N-R-Y is a marketing slang first used in the Fortune magazine in 2003. It stands for high earners who are not rich yet. Henrys run households with annual incomes between $100,000 and $250,000. There are about 21 million of them. Henrys make up the overwhelming majority of affluent consumers who account for 40% of consumer spending, which in turn is about 70% of economic activity. It's no exaggeration to say that without Henry's getting and spending, the U.S. economy would be much poorer. One can find Henry and his family in the affluent suburbs of surrounding cities like Washington, D.C., New York, and Los Angeles, or in the counties of suburban Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, Raleigh, and Philadelphia. He is often a small businessman. He owns his house. He plans to send his children to college. He shops at Target, Saks, Coach, Restoration Hardware, Banana Republic, and on special occasions, Tiffany. The rich young man of today's reading is a Henry, and he messes up his one chance to find meaning in life. Mark tells us that a man runs up to Jesus and kneels before him asking him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Although Mark does not reveal his age, Matthew in his gospel says that he is a younger man. We might call him a millennial, a person today in their 20s or early 30s. Jesus lays out the commandments for him, ranging from "you shall not murder" through "honor your father and mother." And the young man says, "Teacher, I have kept all of these since my youth." Clearly, this millennial has a set of values and is trying to craft a life of quality and authenticity. Jesus looks at him, loves him, and says, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." The young man is shocked and goes away grieving because he has many possessions. He is a Henry, high earner, not rich yet, and is unwilling to abandon his luxury lifestyle. We can assume that he had a lot of money, but not enough in his standards. He wasn't ready to give up the riches he had that he had managed this far in his young life. Interestingly enough, if he were alive today, he might not actually own a house, but would rent a beautiful apartment. He might not buy a car, but would lease a BMW. His electronics would be apples, and his apples would come from Whole Foods. His bicycle would be a Shinola, hand-assembled in Detroit, with a price tag of roughly $3,000. This Henry is all about craftsmanship and authenticity. He may not necessarily want to own things, but he has plenty of cash and craves a quality experience. More than anything, he wants a life of integrity. Mark tells us that Jesus loves this young man. Yes, Jesus loves his adherence to the commandments, his values, and his desire for quality. But Jesus sees one thing getting in the way of a life of integrity: the man's materialism. "Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor," says Jesus. Jesus knows that if his earthly treasure is replaced with heavenly treasure, this Henry will be ready to be a disciple. Sadly, he cannot do it. The young man is simply too attached to his Shinola bike. So he walks away, and Jesus says to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples are perplexed by this because they assume that wealth is a sign of God's favor and that it is always better to be rich than to be poor. But Jesus warns them about people who, as we find in Luke 12:21, store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. In Mark chapter 12, he commends the poor widow who puts two small copper coins in the temple treasury, as that is all she has to live on. And according to the Apostle Paul, in Acts 20:35, Jesus says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Although strangely, these words of Jesus do not appear anywhere in the four Gospels. In any case, Jesus knows that we need God's help to let go of our possessions, to give generously to the poor, and to follow him. Wherever we are on the socioeconomic spectrum, we need assistance with exchanging our earthly possessions for heavenly treasures. "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God," says Jesus. "Hard, whether you are rich or poor, Henrys, yuppies, boomers, or Generation Xers. But for God, all things are possible, including the entry of the wealthy into the kingdom." Today's Henrys are faced with a unique set of challenges because they are high earners who do not carry cash. If they're going to give generously in support of God's work in the world, then their giving will have to be done in new and creative ways. For starters, millennials demand electronic giving options. These can be offered through a kiosk in a church lobby or an online giving button on a congregation's website. Henrys also look for quality and authenticity in their churches, just as they do in their consumer products. This generation of consumers is not very interested in brand names, and in similar manner, they will not support a church simply because it is a Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, or Episcopalian. Young adults give because of quality music and preaching, hands-on mission projects that help the poor, and a congregational vision that aligns with their beliefs. Generosity is not unleashed by the fact that a church is part of a particular denomination. And these techniques are required not only for fundraising, but for following Jesus. After all, Jesus challenged the rich young man to sell what he owned before becoming a disciple. Jesus sensed that possessions were preventing the man from following him, and he wanted to offer a way to eliminate the barrier to discipleship. "You lack one thing," says Jesus to the Henry. "Only one thing stands in your way. Let's do whatever we can to eliminate barriers to generous giving, so that members of every generation can support God's work and follow Jesus. It's enough to make you want to sell everything you have and give it to the poor," which leads us straight to today's lesson from Mark. Here's the problem. The young man had a complex conflict commodity conundrum. He had commodities. It was a conflict. It was complex. It was indeed a conundrum. His problem was his wealth. He didn't want to give it up. That may not be our problem, but perhaps it is. The point is this: what is the one thing that is keeping us from engaging in committed discipleship? We have to wonder what Jesus is getting at. Perhaps he believes that his disciples need to travel light, or he senses that wealth entangles people too tightly with the temptations of this world. Maybe Jesus wants to see if the man is able to sacrifice himself and devote himself completely to helping others. Or it could be that Jesus knows that money is often connected to violence and injustice, as is true with the wealth that drives warfare in many parts of the world today. Although he's speaking in the first century, Jesus understands about conflict commodities. Tragically, the rich man cannot bring himself to go, sell what he owns, and give the money to the poor. And so he goes away grieving, because he has many possessions. There's a lot to ponder in this text, and most of it makes us extremely uncomfortable. On one level, it reminds us that our wealth does not exist in a vacuum, but it has an impact on people around the world, especially in our global economy. Our earth does not have an unlimited supply of resources, so the hoarding of resources by one group can lead to deprivation in another group. On a very simple level, Jesus is calling on the rich man and on each of us to share the wealth. Rethinking the way we live. While preachers may shy away from this touchy topic, Jesus is bold enough to lay down a challenge. "Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me." Jesus clearly wants us to share the wealth, but it is not because he is focusing on instituting a new earthly economic system. Instead, he wants us to break our addiction to material things so that we will be free to focus our passion on spiritual things. If we give generously to the poor, according to Jesus, we help both the poor and ourselves. We help the poor to have the basic necessities of life, and we help ourselves to gain a life of discipleship. To break our attachment to our possessions and give to the poor is a win-win, not a win-lose situation. It's certainly true that we should control our greed and not run out to buy the latest models of laptops and cell phones just because we can, ratcheting up a demand for resources that has the effect of stimulating warfare. But maybe Jesus has a broader view of this issue. Perhaps he sees that all of our commodities can cause conflicts for us. Think about it. How many of your commodities have caused problems for you? We're not necessarily talking about physical real property here. Our personal commodities might include the habit you refuse to give up that harms both you and your family. It may be an attitude of entitlement, self-righteousness, bitterness, or an unforgiving spirit that totally keeps you from walking the walk, talking the talk, moving forward in your discipleship. We're rich in so many ways, but the commodities we hang on to may be the cause of death, not just in our own souls, but in the lives of those around us. Jesus never says that it is impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, simply that it is extremely difficult and it is going to happen only with God's help. Jesus is calling us to discipleship. Before we can answer that call, we've got to resolve the conflicts and find ways to give up the things that hold us back from Jesus. Let's go forth today and do our best to give our all. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, if the ushers will come forward to take up our tithes, gifts, and offerings. Stand. Christ Jesus, touch us deeply in our worship. Touch and embrace our lives. Move our lives to generosity and service. Strengthen our faith and direct us into ministries and service for those in great need. Rededicate our lives and bless our gifts, and may our tithes, gifts, and offerings help to renew your church and meet the urgent needs of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 2130, The Summons. Go forth from this place inspired to serve one another and empowered by the love of God to do so. Go forth from this place to work in company with all God's children to do God's work and God's will on earth as it is in heaven, that in loving and serving one another, the kingdom of God may come to this world through you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Sweet the sound that saved.